On September 16th, the New York Times published an article about the World Health Organization wanting to increase the amount of DDT sprayed in Africa to fight malaria. Dr. Arata Kochi, head of the World Health Organization's Global Malaria Program, unequivocally declared at a news conference on Friday that DDT was the most effective insecticide against malaria and that it posed no health risks when sprayed in small amounts on the inner walls of people's homes. Expanding its use is essential to reviving the flagging international campaign to control the disease, he said. For years now, a few strident anti-environmentalist revisionists have been saying that Rachel Carson was wrong, that DDT posed no problems to human health and didn't really kill any birds. It was just responsible for some minor eggshell thinning. And they're using the World Health Organization's fight against malaria as proof that environmentalists don't care about human health and that pesticides are far less harmful and far more helpful than environmentalists believe. But the problem is, few if any environmentalists oppose spraying DDT on inside upper walls and ceilings. The main insects that alight there are the very mosquitoes that spread diseases to a house's inhabitants. They die when DDT is taken up by their feet. So as long as there are safeguards to ensure that the DDT is used for this purpose and no other, and that the DDT is not inhaled or touched when applied, the DDT is not going to get into either the environment and the wild food chain or into humans and pets. There is, of course, danger involved during the actual spraying process. Birds were often found dead on lawns in my neighborhood the morning after the DDT truck passed by. DDT kills insects by opening sodium channels in neurons, causing the neurons to fire spontaneously. This leads to spasms and eventual death. It is stored in fatty tissues and vertebrates, but its actions are not as clear. In birds of prey, who virtually never metabolize all their body fat at once, it didn't kill birds outright, but did cause them to lay eggs with shells so thin that they collapsed when incubated. In migratory songbirds who lay on fat during summer and the end of winter and then metabolize all that fat on migratory flights that can be hundreds of miles in a single night, all the DDT that had stored over months could enter the bloodstream in a single fat-depleting flight. Thousands of robins were picked up dead on the Michigan State University campus during single migratory episodes during the 1960s. That's when DDT was also discovered in human mother's milk, too. Now a clear relationship between low birth weights and infant mortality and the presence of DDT in the blood of pregnant women has been established using women's blood samples that were frozen in the 60s and analyzed in just the past few years. And when applied in the natural world, mosquitoes and other insect pests quickly became resistant anyway. DDT was used heavily to kill the bark beetles that spread Dutch elm disease, but did no good at all. All the elms in my neighborhood had died by the mid-60s, despite years of intense and frequent spraying. The chemical industry lied about a great many issues with regard to DDT and launched a huge multi-million-dollar campaign to personally attack and malign Rachel Carson, who was dying of breast cancer when her book Silent Spring came out. Small wonder people discounted everything the industry said, leading the Nixon administration to ban DDT outright in the early 70s. But the single narrow use of DDT, applied indoors to upper walls and ceilings to combat malaria, has been proven both effective and relatively safe. Had there been an honest debate about the issue in the 60s, rather than an expensive campaign of lies and attacks by the chemical industry, it could have been clear what the safest ways to use DDT were. It does not belong in the outside environment, period. But indoors, as a tool to combat serious mosquito-borne diseases, it can be a critical and effective way to save human lives. The World Health Organization deserves support for expanding this program. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.